Eastern philosophers and stuff about Republicans so much that it's not happening now.
It's that we're going to talk about it.
And then so much of the history we have is because
so long we're on that train.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We want to help you take steps towards becoming the best version of yourself. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing fantastical. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I got a phone call today from TCT, where I used to be on the Ask the Pastor show, and they were doing some stuff by Zoom, and they had closed the studio during COVID, and it was very minimal, and they're now reopening everything. And so they were like, do you want to be back on the show? So yeah, so I'm looking at
my boy
scheduling that, which will be fun, and be fun to get the promo some of the new stuff, like the podcast that we started, and the new one I started with Pesach, and just some of the cool stuff going on. So it was fun to kind of them to reach out and go, oh yeah, you do exist. I should go back to that, but I honestly hadn't really crossed my mind. So how's stuff with you?
Good. Always exciting. Always a new endeavor. So
how was this weekend? Did you enjoy the roller coasters?
Big time. Now here's the thing. Ryan is a roller coaster machine, right? And I've never done quite a long segment of riding. Mm-hmm. We did 12 hours of roller coaster riding.
Yeah.
And by the end, I was like, ouch, like this hurts. My brain started rattling around inside my noggin, and I felt it. Like, I don't think I could have done too much more.
Got to test you for CTE after.
Yeah, right. I figure there was a concussion protocol in my future, but
yeah.
No, but I was like, you know what, right, one more.
So which ones did you do at Cedar Point?
We multiple times.
Now, so, did you get like the fast pass and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, nice. And you know, the lines were like 2 hours per ride, and so literally, if you went there for 12 hours, you were going to spend a majority of it, you know, in line, and I wasn't having it.
Yeah, you can't do that. No. You got to fast pass it. Same thing at Disney. You know, when we were in high school, not that I ever did this, but I went with people that did this. You get a wheelchair, and then they put you to the front of the line for everything, as long as you're pushing the person in the wheelchair. And I had some friends that would do that.
Okay. Did you tell them that they'll go to hell? Did you tell them that?
I did not. They may have gone to church with me.
We won't out them here publicly.
Not publicly.
No.
But yeah, it looked like fun. And then you got your walleye and perch.
Yes, that was awesome. It's just different. Like when you fresh seafood. Absolutely. And fresh fish. Yep. Is the best one. Every time you're near a freshwater or near the ocean, you got to get fresh seafood.
Absolutely. My mother-in-law's working on a potential Alaskan cruise in 2023 for the whole family. And I was already researching. There's 4 different types of salmon I can eat up there. Yeah. And I'm like, the king crab legs. I'm like, oh, we're going in. Alaskan king crab legs is going to be fun. But
can you eat polar bear? That would be fun. I don't know.
I know you can eat bear. I don't know about polar bear. I think polar bear are in danger, Joe.
I wonder what they taste like. And they're probably not even in Alaska. I bet you that's like in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I had to make a joke.
They say bear's incredibly greasy and fatty, but I don't think I've ever had bear. I've had a lot of different things, but yeah, I suppose you could have bear. But so this is funny, though. I've never had perch or walleye out of Lake Erie. I've lived here for 8 years, and I was having this conversation with a guy at church who has a boat up on Lake Erie and fishes all the time, and you had made your post, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever had. I was like racking my brain, you know, I've been here and I've eaten fish, but not perch from Lake Erie and not walleye. And so I'm telling him that, and he's like, well, I've got 2 freezers full. I'm going to bring you some, and you're going to eat some. So look up some recipes and do it up. The other thing that Sam and I have in the freezer that we're going to try, have you ever had cow heart?
Never had cow heart.
So my wife went on a missions trip decade ago to Peru, and they made antechuchos, which is cow heart grilled, and she loved it. And so she came back. We found this Peruvian restaurant in New Jersey where we were that did it, and we haven't had it in forever. So last year when we ordered a big chunk of cow, they asked us which organ meat we wanted. And I'm like, we're getting cow heart, and I'm going to figure out how to cook some antechuchos and make some cow heart grilled. I don't know how to do it, but we're gonna do it. So those are the fun culinary adventures that are coming up. My wife started baking too this week, which is not good for my waistline. She made
it's that season, huh?
2 loaves of zucchini bread with chocolate chips in them. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, 1 loaf lasted 24 hours. My kids inhaled it, I inhaled it, she inhaled it. We were all like, this is so good, it's warm.
Let's do another one.
Yeah. So good stuff. So speaking of that, I mentioned to you before we got on the air, I began listening to this really interesting podcast, and I know it'll be up your alley, so I'm definitely going to send you the link, but I thought we could dabble in it a little bit.
Okay,
I'm game. And to talk about longevity.
Yes.
So the average lifespan is somewhere around 78 to 80 years old, somewhere in that range. Obviously, people live past that, and people live less than that. My father-in-law was 57. My dad was 60. But my grandfather's 91, and he told my mom, he's like, I figure I got 9 more good years left in me. Like, he's all there mentally. I mean, he broke his hip, and he's had some, you know, old people problems. But for the most part, everything's holding together pretty good. Do you foresee, you know, I think the oldest person to ever live in the Guinness Book of World Records was like 119 or 121, somewhere in that range. Do you see a day where humans live to 150 or 200, and what gets us to that spot?
So I think there is, but I think what's happening when modern medicine has helped us like survive beyond like when things start breaking down mm-hmm. naturally. So we got to have a skill set in getting our parts to be able to last as long as how long we can live in duration. Yeah. And I think we do a good deal of beating things up over the course of years. So I think people do get, you know, diseases in that period of time where like they wish they would, you know, check out because their body starts failing them.
Sure.
But I don't think no one ever teaches you how to like keep those things working as long as possible and not take those damage. I mean, a lot of people just with certain substances, they just abuse their body to the point where.
Yeah. So the podcast was the Ed Milet show, and he was interviewing this guy, Sergey Young, who wrote this book. It's like the science or something of growing young. And in the beginning of it, they were talking about those things that take off from your lifespan. Like, we know that if you're a consistent tobacco user, you're shaving about 10 years off your life, which is incredible to think like, oh, I could live to 90, but instead I'm going to live till 80 as long as I can have my cigarette. And you look at that and you go, wow, you know, and we know that. And yet there's still a portion of society that is stuck in that spot and use that. But they rattled off several other things. Didn't realize how important sleep was. For some of that. And so they were talking through that. But one of the things that they mentioned was something we talk about quite a bit is mindset.
For sure.
And Sergey was saying in the podcast that, you know, the mindset that he has every day, and one of the, we would say affirmations, one of the things that he says to himself every day is, I'm going to live to 200 in a body of a 25-year-old. And he goes, you know, starting with that gives me a whole different perspective. You know, so many people get to 40 and they're like, well, just cross the halfway line or whatever. I'm old. And the mindset is just different. You start inviting aches and pains. You start inviting certain things. And, you know, how important do you think that mindset is? And it really made me shift, because here I am at 36 thinking, you know, I feel old at times. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I'm 36. Like, and to shift that mindset. Or we asked Charlotte the other day, do you think mommy and daddy are old? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, do you think grandma's old? And she knows how old grandma is. And she goes, no. And we're like, how old is old? Do you think great pop-pop's old? He's 91. She goes, he's starting to get old. And the mentality is just different in that space to go, well, I would, don't tell my mom this. Mom, if you're listening, I love you. But I would consider, you know, in that 60, 70, 80 range to be starting to age and starting to get old. You're looking at retirement. You're not, you know, some of those things. So talk about the mentality in that. Does Joe have a goal age that he wants to live? And is that part of your affirmations? Do you look at that sort of stuff?
Not really. You'll never find me saying shit like I'm old or subscribing to that. And that's really what it is that if you're subscribing to that mortality and you're counting how many good years and you're subscribed. Like, if I could get away with just never paying attention to how many years I am, because like, what's the purpose? I mean, once you get beyond, you know, driver's license and, you know, legal age to drink and getting into casino and like, what is there left? I mean, 65 and AARP. That's the next one. And so like
Denny's 55 and up lunch.
People ask me all the time, how old are you? And I really couldn't tell them, because I just don't think about that deal. And like, sometimes, you know, I'll find myself running up the stairs like I'm a 20-year-old, right? And I'm thinking, you know, people my age don't run up the stairs like their muscles are brand new and that they've, you know, got that vitality and energy. And I'm like, I'm going to keep it like that.
Yeah.
Because that's you know, in technology, there are certain electronics that only have so many cycles of use before those cycles make the actual things go bad. So maybe you have 1,000 times you could use something. So if you use them very fast, right, then they're just gone. right? Human body, though, we have the ability to keep replenishing as, you know, as we age things out. So if you have the ability, like when you're young, you have a bunch of HGH in your body that basically heals you like you're whatever.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, okay, it just dissipates because you don't need to grow anymore. You've grown as much as you are. But if you figure out like, okay, what causes HGH production and go do that, you can then replicate the cycle of creating new where your body's like, oh, I did my thing. You know, I'm checking out.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. You know, they were giving some of the markers for some of this and mentality is important. One of the things they said is if you can reduce your calories by 15 to 20% a day, you can add 3 to 5 years to your life.
Yep.
I was like, wow. I mean, that's, and that's like math measurable. They cited, you know, scientific studies. Like it's not just like, you know, it's not the health guy on TikTok telling you to do that. Like there's math behind it and really smart.
Let me explain some of it. Cause it's the same reason I do fasting. And I,
so they started to get into fasting, which was,
so again, you have these cycles of cell replication, right? Okay. The more that you do, the more your cells are expensed having to recreate versions of themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if you slow down the replication, which means that you slow digestion down, right? Your body's metabolism has to slow down. So when you fast, you basically use like, I don't know, half the energy that you normally do because your body stops digesting food for a little while. And then you have that spare energy where your body comes to rest a little bit. So even like with the sleeping, if you spend more time sleeping, your body, you know, slows itself down. And you're not using those cycles up.
Yeah. He was saying that, you know, he used to pride himself on like 4 to 5 hours and I can still get stuff done and all this. And he goes, but you know, the more studies I read, the more things I read, the target should be between 7 to 9 hours to allow my body to recoup and do the things it's necessary for it to do. And then he talked about fasting. The one guy fasted 36 hours every week. And so he's like, I use the time where I'm asleep as a portion of that, but I do 36 straight hours. And he goes, right about hour 18 is where, and he started getting into some of the cell stuff.
Right.
And, he goes, I used to do 24, but then I just did it in a way that I could fall asleep and pick up some more hours while I'm sleeping because of what it does in my cells during hour 24 to 36 is huge. So I was like, wow, it's really, really interesting. Like some of these things are small little tweaks for people. They got into just some neat stuff they talked about, like some of the gene therapies and genetic stuff that's coming out in terms of medicine. And they were saying even the way your organs reproduce themselves, you know, the idea of, you know, taking, you know, all right, your liver is 100 years old and it's starting to fail, but you biopsied a piece of it at 70 and are able to regenerate a new liver and put it like the concept and the science into, hey, you can grow your own organs back. It's just like, was like for me. But they got into a lot of, you know, nuanced stuff, some meditation stuff and different things like that. And like I said, I have a little bit more of the episode to go, but, what do you think for you? So you don't have a goal, and you really don't care about that. It's interesting as we were talking about that, it reminded me of a scripture, Joe. Get to push your
You're
button.
My hero. I love you.
Psalm 90 verse 12 says, Lord, teach me to number my days that I might gain wisdom. And there's a book that I love that talks about if you learn to count your life in days instead of years, you'll accomplish more. Because most of us are like, oh, you know, I can get to that, or I have a 5-year strategy, but we're just granted today. And so if I just learn to number my days that I have today, you know, I've lived whatever, 12,100 and however many days, and then tomorrow is 12,134. It may be my last, but I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to do my best because I'm counting days, not years. I can't do that next year. I have to do it today. And it gives a little more urgency to life. One of the things they talked about, and I think you would disagree with, because I did, was he talked about limiting risky life thing. So he had the opportunity to climb Mount Everest with a group of people, and he's in pretty good shape and all that, had the ability to do it. But he did some research and found out, you know, like the death rate is pretty substantial going on Mount Everest. And he's like, well, that's going to get in the way of my goal of making it to 200 because that's too high of a risk. I'm not going to do it. And I found that to be so interesting because, and even Ed, I think, said on the, as he was interviewing, he's like, yeah, but like, I want to live to 200, but I want to live.
Right.
And so where's that tension for you? Where do you draw that line?
All right. So the strategy up to this point, we're talking about like efficiencies. When you're doing, you know, fasting, you're trying to conserve the repetitions of cell replication. So you're conserving the body's deal. When you exercise, you're ramping up your heart rate and your breathing, which in the short term uses up a lot of that, but then it lowers your heart rate and it lowers your breathing when you're at rest. So you're conserving over a longer period of scale. Mm-hmm. So if the strategy is you slow your things down in order to get more of it, well, if you can do Mount Everest without making the trade-off where you're consuming more, like if you're anxious and you don't sleep well and whatever, you basically, you lived a little bit, but then you traded off some of the longevity for that thing. So it would be that the balance would be to achieve those things without creating the things that would deprive you of the things you're trying to conserve.
Oh, that's really good. Cause you know, you set out for, you know, some people really major achievement in their 20s, and I'm going to push and I'm only going to sleep 4 hours and do all this stuff and I'm going to be successful, and they're anxious, stressed, all this stuff, and they're taking years off their life.
Exactly.
And they're trading it for a few $1,000 extra
for
here.
For the adrenaline. And
yep.
Yeah. And so like if the objective is to truly conserve, you have to know where your trade-offs are and what you're getting for doing it. A lot of people will go into exercise not knowing that the deal, what they're trying to accomplish is to create, you know, some resistance against it. So your body gets stronger. So then you can trade that strength over a period of time that makes you healthier.
Yeah. It makes you think of it makes me think of a parable about this, South American fisherman and an American businessman. And the American business guy is down there and sees this guy and he's catching more fish than anybody else. And he goes out and he comes in, he fishes in less time, and he goes and sells his fish at the market, and then goes to the beach and plays guitar, runs around with his kids, you know, hangs with his wife, and then gets up at 4 and fishes, you know, for a shorter period of time, but catches more fish than everybody else. And so finally the American business guy was like, you know, if you fished a little bit longer, you could make more money. And he says, I know. And he goes, well, you know, and then you could buy other boats, and then you could, you know, you can manage other boats. And you could have a real operation going down here, and you make a lot of money. And he said, well, you know, how long would that take? And he was having this whole conversation. And he goes, you know, if you did that for 30 years, you could, you know, run this company and you could have a real nice retirement. And then you could sit on the beach and play guitar and all that sort of stuff. And he's like, that's what I'm doing now. And it really comes back to those values.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with building an enterprise like that. But if it's going to rob you of your values and your peace in this moment, he was completely content to fish for 2 hours and make enough money for his family and play guitar and hang out on the beach. And sometimes we always think that bigger is better, but does it align with the desires that I have in my values? Gary Vee says all the time, like, if you're happy making $70,000 a year and working 9 to 5 and having your weekends off and stuff like that, like, great, like, not rock it out. But don't complain to me when you got all this extra time that you could be working side. And that's kind of his deal. And I think that's the issue with people is really contentment. When we start getting into that longevity talk, is most people are not content in what they're doing, whether it's work, family. There's a restlessness in them, and that drives stress, anxiety, all these things that rob from your life. And so it's about finding and defining those values. Obviously, you have a lot on your plate. But for Joe, it's not always about the next endeavor, the next thing. I know that about you. But it's always about, how can I help the most people? How can I make my community better? You're asking different questions.
Right.
And a lot of people would look at that and go, well, he just wants to start another business so he can make some more money, or he can make some more investments. That's the furthest thing from Joe's mind. Right. He knows the money's going to come and the money's infinite. But how did you come to that place to go, this is what I want to do with my life? Like, this is my passion. And whether I'm going to start a studio, or I'm going to service people's computers, or I'm going to start a coffee shop, or I'm going to remodel houses, or whatever the businesses are,
right.
They're all coming from the same place. They're all under the same umbrella and vision. And while there are times where it's stressful, the overarching though is very much in your wheelhouse, your passion, all that sort of stuff. When did you come to that spot?
So it everybody's standards are different and uniform. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're, you know, the life that I live, I make sure that it's in sort of that sweet spot for everything that I can handle without it changing or affecting me. Like I don't become a different person. I'm always going to play off of my playbook, where some people, if they like jumped into my life and read my email, they would stress out so bad that they wouldn't want to come back and do it a second time. That didn't happen like in one day. Like I kept pushing that barrier 1 inch at a time before I could handle more and more. And it didn't sacrifice any of my health for it, or didn't sacrifice other opportunities down the road. But that's something that's achieved over, you know, a period of time. If you'd asked me like on day one, the things that I was worrying about, like, I don't even think about it anymore. I mean, they're not even on the radar, where I could see it in the peripheral and be like, ah, it'll take care of itself.
Yep. Yeah. And it's interesting. I think the longer you do something, the longer you do something well, you catch those things. There's things now in year 8 of pastoring the church that in year 1 I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, is this going to get taken care of? And now I'm like, oh yeah, it'll get taken care of. It is what it is. And or, you know, oh yeah, I've seen that happen 37 times now. Yep, we're going to go through that flow, and it's going to work itself out.
And it's same if you watch somebody putting up 200 pounds on mm-hmm. a dumbbell. Like if you tried to do that today, you would stress out. But that person started with 25 pounds like 20 years ago, and the only reason that they can do that today without effort, like it would be effort for me. It really would. Yeah.
be a broken shoulder probably for me. So, what sort of tech stuff? Tech is kind of your deal. When you look at things, that's okay.
Go ahead.
what sort of tech stuff do you see coming in the future to help with health and wellness and that stuff? You know, they were talking about, you know, blood work and how complex it's gotten. You know, before it was like, you know, it ran your HDL and your LDL and, you know, two or three other things, and it's gotten so much more complex over the last 20 years. What, you know, they're doing stuff now to make medicine and even vitamins gene specific to the person.
I got one better than genes and all that kind of stuff. Virtual reality.
Okay.
You put your body in a vacuum, like whatever. You put an Oculus on you, and they can pump in the sights, the smells, and your consciousness will not know the difference between reality and not reality. Mm. So every muscle, the only muscle you'll ever need at that point is, you know, breathing could be done for you, right? So you don't even need diaphragm or whatever, your brain. If they can figure out how to keep brain tissue as healthy as you can, give you the nutrition exactly what you need, not too much, not too little, they can make your, you know, sort of like mechanics inside of you last the longest that it possibly can. So I bet you every bit of 400 years in that brain of yours.
Interesting.
I'm going with 400 if you got into virtual reality. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, they talked about these scanners that there's a place in San Diego, it's called like the Longevity Center or whatever, and people actually go there for like a full chemical workup and everything. And they're saying that when you pre-screen for diseases like cancer and stuff that like take people out, the earlier you find them, the better. And so some of these people are going, you know, every other month, they're going once a year to this spot. And I'm sure there are others around the country, but that's just the one these two guys happen to be talking about. And they were saying they get like full workup, and it can catch stuff before you have a problem and address it. So, you know, you have this tiny little stage one, you know, cancer on your bladder or wherever. They can catch it at stage one. And the problem for most people is they haven't gone to a doctor in a decade. They don't know their blood makeup. They don't know some of this stuff. And so by the time they catch it, it's stage three. And there's nothing anybody can do.
Well, if they immersed you in one of those tanks, they could literally move every organ and everything and replicate everything else digitally. So anything that causes cancer, they just cut it out and then fabricate it from something that's machinery. So think what you would need if they took all that out. You don't need your legs. You know, let's just say they cut your arms off because you don't need those. You can run around in your brain. And then you start going intestine. Okay, well, they can skip the intestine and they can do some kind of filtration system that doesn't require the liver, doesn't require the stomach, doesn't require anything. And now they keep going up. They're like, okay, well, we got this heart that kills a lot of people. Now let's do a mechanical version where we just circulate. We don't need as much blood because now we've got like only a tenth of our body at that point. They could just keep eliminating until they pretty much get to here, right? Because you don't need anything else. Maybe your eyeballs and maybe here, but that's about it.
And then they attach you to a robot.
Don't even need that. I mean, you could just be a disembodied head with some connectors on it. USB.
That does not sound exciting.
But you wouldn't know it because that little Oculus is feeding you everything that you need.
Interesting. Interesting. Is that what they're going to do on your trip to Neptune or Mars?
Yeah. They're cryogenic. So they'll just freeze everything. And then cancer can't grow in cryogenics. You can live forever.
that he, the one guy said that he's planning on going to Mars. And he was like, but think about it. He goes, if I'm going to live 200 years, what's 3 years?
That's right.
And I'm like, that's a good point.
Yeah. Would you be surprised if you're like, hey, Joe left, he went to Mars?
No, not at all. No. I think if they open tourism to the moon, you'll be going.
I think I already put an application. Yeah. In, honestly.
Yeah. I think, would Debbie go with you or is she?
Yeah. There... We're like the three musketeers. Yeah, yeah, so I would have part of my consideration would not necessarily me going, but like, would I really want them to give up everything to follow me there?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really the only consideration.
That's so fascinating. And it's always fun to think about, you know, the future like this. And it's so true. We limit in our minds the length of life, the amount of good life that you can have. You know, I look at some people at church in their, you know, 60s and 70s that are not in great shape. And then I see some people that are in their mid to late 70s. And I think they're probably, they look like they're in their 50s and they're moving around and they're still working and doing stuff. And I'm like, that's how I want to be when I get to that spot. So what are the things you got
to
do?
And so what makes people subscribe then to the, you know, first somebody starts saying, oh, you're getting gray hair. Like we do that to one another.
Yeah, we
like, well, am I getting old?
Go? Yeah.
And like, oh, maybe I am old. Maybe, yeah. Maybe is my knee starting to hurt? Well, but yes, it is. You know, yeah, and they just go down that whole rabbit hole.
I think some of it is culture growing up. You know, I can remember my dad talking about aches and pains, you know, when I was little, and I was like, oh, when you get to be a parent, you have aches and pains. And I can remember on the contrary, on the flip side, my grandfather, who's 91, never talked about anything hurting him, and he never really had any pain. You know, thinking back about that, not that he didn't go through stuff, but he really didn't have you know, that many issues. But you look at some of the stuff, and I wonder how much is the placebo effect, or we believe we're going to have issues, therefore we have issues, or we believe we're going to be healthy and therefore we're healthy. And I understand some things are genetic. Some things are going to come down the pike, whether you want them to or not, because it's just hardwired. I'm not saying you can avoid all disease forever. However, I think we do bring more on early than we would otherwise, simply by mentality. But I think a lot of that's built in by mom and dad. And even the way families go now, you don't see people get, like, grandparents are kind of split off. You know, you don't have that tight-knit family group where grandma lives the house over and your aunt lives across the street. Everybody's spread out. You know, you're experiencing age through FaceTime and all of that, which is very different. You know, even for, you know, my kids, you know, they get to see my mom a couple times a year. They get to see Sam's mom a couple times a year. And realistically, you know, even before my dad passed, he only got to see them a handful of times. Like, right. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like it used to be 40, 50 years ago when people all lived in the same neighborhood as their family. Everybody was close. You spent all the holidays together. We're in a much more national and international kind of situation where people are living. So they're not exposed to seeing that. And even like, you know, my dad passing, sad, but even like for Charlotte and Graham, who, you know, would remember him and know him, wasn't really like they met him a couple times, but it was, they didn't have like a deep relationship. Like they talked on the phone a couple times, but it wasn't like it would have been, like I said, 40, 50 years ago where we saw him every Sunday and we had dinner at grandma's house. And we, you know, that's a different kind of animal. So how do you handle then growing up? How does Joe handle when he gets a headache, or when, I know you don't get headaches,
right?
I've had that conversation, but how does Joe handle the aches and pains and the bumps and stuff along the way? You were saying you had that, injury recently that you had to overcome. How do you handle that mindset wise?
So it, like where I categorize it, like what the body is going through.
Joe goes, ow, that stinking hurts.
Yeah. I try to figure out, like, I know a lot of it is sort of natural reactions. And there's a point of it that you do an activity that you're not used to doing. And then you have a soreness or, you know, like I started doing keto and I got a couple of lesions on me and I was like, well, what causes that? And I get super interested in the reaction of my body to something that I was doing. So like, for instance, I move the dresser and I get a pop in my pectoral, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, well, that never used to happen. And I probably haven't worked on actual pectoral exercises since I was in high school. So immediately I'm like, let's do some pectoral. That was the message received, you know?
Yeah. So you lean into it.
Yes, for sure.
Most people lean away from it.
Yeah.
I get injured, well, I need to take it easy. Now, in some cases, you do. Please listen to your doctor. Don't be like, well, I was listening to Joe and Doug, and they said,
work it out.
Yeah. I tore my ACL, but they told me to go for a run. Like, that's not what we said. Yeah, because there's some of those things that, yeah, you do need you know, time to heal, and you'll need some of that space. But I think a lot of our aches, pains, bumps, bruises, you know, even as the weather changes, right? You hear people all the time like, oh, my knees, I can feel it, you know, when the weather changes and stuff. And maybe I just haven't had that experience just yet. But I hear that, and my dad used to say it all the time. And thinking back now, I'm like, did he have the pain because he said it all the time? Or did he have the pain and then said it? Like, what comes first?
Well, let's change the noun. Okay, yeah. So we know anything that we don't pay attention to in nature decays. It gets worse mm-hmm. than it is. Your finances, if you don't look at them for a while, it decays. So it's no different with your body. If you decide, and you could always like reel it back in to a level where it's not in disrepair or ill health. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if your finances are bad, you know what you know, you're not looking for a millionaire deal with finances. Sure. You're looking at not being injured by your finances. Mm-hmm. Same thing goes with the body. Like, makes I've sense. Ignored something. Let me not ignore it and bring it back to at least that standard again.
So I think next Tuesday after our show, I think I'm going to do a fast. Do you want to fast next Tuesday and Wednesday? So we'll come in Thursday then to talk about, I'm going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'll break it Thursday morning is my thought. So
why don't you break it Thursday, and I'll bring some foods that we could break it with, because it's coming out of it is way more important than even getting into it. So I'll bring some of my favorites to break it.
So Thursday we'll break the fast. So if you want to fast with us, we're going to start, when we go to bed Tuesday night, when we wake up Wednesday, we won't eat, and we'll go through till Thursday at the show. All right. That'll be fun. Because they talked about the benefits of fasting, and I've done so. For me, fasting has always been spiritual, and I've heard you talk about it from like a health standpoint, and just the way they were talking about it, I'm like, I'm sure I could pair the two together, like,
sure,
and do some of the spiritual component of what I do when I fast versus and still go, okay, there's health things, there's things happening in my body just as much as there are things happening in my spirit, which is always good to have both of those areas in the right spot. What's Joe's big experiment coming up with your body? You always kind of have a next experiment. I know you do keto, and then you try different things, and then you come out of keto. And what's the next? I know you're starting to work out and lift weights, but what's your big experiment?
So breathing is still late. I mean, it connected it with running and doing half marathon and whatever. But now I would like to be able to absorb more oxygen with the same breath. So it's not necessarily lung capacity or lung strength, but I want to find out, like, inside the lungs, and you have the areola, do I have damage there that doesn't allow me to absorb as much oxygen as you? And can you rehabilitate the inside of your lungs? Like, when I was in high school, I smoked and my mom smoked. So is there lasting damage? Is there scar tissue? Is there something that I can make inroads? So that's where I'm looking at right now.
Regular menthol.
My mom, menthol. Me, like, probably Winston's that had tar dripping from it. Yeah, that's probably what it is.
So when I worked at Wawa, I worked the cash register, and number one seller was Marlboro Lights, number two seller was coffee. And people would come through every morning, get their 16-ounce coffee and two packs of Marlboro Lights, two packs of Camel, two packs of Winston. And we would always try and guess in line what cigarette brand they'd be buying. Okay. And I always found it fascinating. You were almost spot on every time. The more I was there, you know, you knew who was going to get the Parliament Lights. You knew the ladies that were going to come through and can I get two packs of Virginia Slims, you know, right. You knew, you know, who was going to order those. That's why I was just kind of curious. Winston is kind of an old man, cigarette.
I was an old soul, I guess. And no filters.
Yeah. You know? And then you get the real.
Is that what you pegged me with?
No.
No. What would you have?
Parliament Lights.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. That was like, it's like kind of like the trendy when I was working there in high school. So, you know, you're thinking early 2000s, mid 2000s. You know, people coming from college were getting Parliament Lights. If they were smoking menthols, they were getting Newports. But that you'd have to spend an arm and a leg today to get a pack of Newports, like $10 or $12.
Yeah.
So back then it was like $5.
Rick's got some things to say. So let me read some of his comments.
Yeah,
here.
Look at that.
So this is in order here. He said that I golf with a 93-year-old, and that is his average score on 18 holes.
It's way better than mine.
He always has a smile on his face, just loving life. The matrix is real when I'm putting my brain connected the wires into virtual reality.
Did you know there's a new Matrix movie coming out?
Okay, we're going.
All right, let's do it. I'm down. My wife hates the Matrix movies,
but she's gonna do it.
So I have them. You and I might have to go.
Okay.
I don't know if your wife's in the Matrix.
Is it that she just doesn't dig the concept, or it's maybe
I think it's the sci-fi deal with it. Like, we've tried to watch it, and she's like, "This is stupid."
Ask her tonight if there's a way to disprove that we are already in the Matrix. Matrix. Yeah, okay. maybe that is a message to ourselves, trying to wake us up.
Yeah.
And you know, she's denying the message.
Steak tastes so good, though, Joe.
attitude will know 10 to 15 off your physical age. I had an aunt that lived 99, and her aunt lived to be 100. The old man in the Newcastle, a distant relative, also made it to 100. Yeah. And then he said, Tylenol arthritis is my friend. Listen, I see some contradictions here, Rick. If you know that age is that attitude, then saying things like Tylenol arthritis is my friend, like, I don't need Tylenol arthritis. How about that? And then I don't have time for pain and I'm retired.
Yeah.
There nice. You go. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Rick, that's awesome. So he would commented on the Joe and Doug space because I was watching it on mine. So
cool.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, next Tuesday, we're going to fast because I got some busy stuff.
All right, let's
up
do
this
preparation
week.
Talk for okay. our fast. So if you're going to do it and you're going along with us, it would be helpful before getting into the fast that you didn't do any sugars, any simple carbohydrates and sugars.
So is that going like into, Monday, Tuesday,
24
hours?
You want to start it going at Sunday, like start to wean off of that because your blood sugar is what really gets you when you're getting into it.
So no fruit or no like frosted flakes? Like,
no frosted flakes for sure. Anything that has simple sugars in it, additive simple sugars.
So whole foods is fine.
Absolutely. Okay. Even fruits, because your body has a way of processing fruits that have insulin spikes that are way lower than, you know, just
it's got fiber and it's got other stuff.
Exactly.
And,
and so that's what you want to avoid. So if you can get to Tuesday when it's time to do this with your blood sugar being able to normalize to a certain level, you have a way easier time going through it. The problem is if you get the blood sugar and it goes down, you start feeling like shit, you get shaky, and then you get a ton of ghrelin that's trying to convince you that you are going to die if you don't eat. So
yeah,
that's my
Gremlin or ghrelin?
Ghrelin.
No, I know what you said.
Yeah, gremlin
inside
too.
Is like feed me. So all right, so no simple sugars, and you want to be good and hydrated too.
Yes,
is the other
sure.
side. When I've fasted previously, I suck down a lot of water on the days where I fast, and it
even
really helps
even
cleanse things.
Coffee has no insulin response, but it has to be black coffee. So still need if your objection to this
did
is
you get
that,
to try Scott's coffee yet?
I didn't know it's riding around with me still.
Yeah, no, he definitely. I'm onto my second bag.
Are you really?
I actually like the second bag better.
Okay,
so. It's cool. The Brazil was the one I gave you, but I have this matcha gold that's really good.
And so your body is going to use up a lot of the stored glucose that it has when you go into this process because you are going to enter
a lot of it
enter ketosis, honestly.
Okay. So and fasting puts you in ketosis.
So fasting will definitely put you in ketosis. And so what it's going to do is for the first day, it's going to really go through your the glucose that's stored in your liver. The second day, like getting into the second day, it's going to be taking some of the glycogen that's stored in your muscles. And the body has a really hard time getting the glycogen out of the muscles. But if you take black coffee dislodges some of that glucose. So you'll actually feel like you're getting a little bit of that absorbed glucose for longer without having to eat the food. So your two things go water going into it on day one and go black coffee on day two. And you will thank me for that second day.
Okay. Black coffee on day two. It's good because you fast. Pretty
all
regularly, yeah.
Yeah, at least one or twice a week and a big one once a month.
Awesome. So that'll be next Tuesday, and we'll ride that Tuesday to Thursday, and we'll break the fast with some treats.
Yes, yes.
Joe treats,
not real treats, not regular people treats.
So what do you break your fast with typically?
Okay, so it's got to be something that digests very slow, so high fibrous stuff. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite is bone broth. I don't know if you've ever had.
I love bone broth.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna do some vegetable.
You know who
things.
Has really good bone broth is it's on 224, right next to Firehouse Subs. It's the organic like place. I can't think of the name of it, but it's very good.
Okay. And so like your body, when it breaks the fast, it will suck up any nutrition that you put in. So you eat these super dense vitamin minerals deal. Your stomach's going to get a little upset. We don't care. But anyway, we'll bring that to light.
My wife, mine.
There's a restroom right
there. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening. And we'll see you back here Thursday. And maybe we'll talk about fasting, going a little more depth on Thursday to prep for next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the